The Good Doctor has raised several times this rising above the place where you're being worked on and actually being able to observe and then later describe with actual brain death what was going on. Now, there's really no way to medically explain that. There's simply no way. Again, on the 60-minute show, Doctor, they interviewed a doctor in an operating room, and they had lost many patients on the table. And so they actually went to the trouble of putting a large sign up on top of some piece of medical equipment so that if somebody did rise up in the room to the ceiling, they would be able to note the number and then later report it. And they used as negative as evidence that it not, really wasn't happening, the fact that nobody had yet come back and reported that number. Had you heard about that?
Yes, in fact, we actually did a study ourselves.
Oh?
In cardiac arrest patients where we used various targets that were essentially had images that were only visible from the ceiling down and not from any other area to try and test the claims of people who say that they're out of body.
And?
And the problem is that I don't know about the case you're referring to, but certainly from my own experience of having done this, one of the big difficulties is that near-death experiences happen on only about 10 to 20% of people who are resuscitated back to life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you imagine you start out with, say, 1,000 people who have a cardiac arrest, you're left with 200, or 100 to 200 who may have a near-death experience. Now, only a quarter of those, so maybe 25 to 50, would have an out-of-body experience. So in all the studies that this has been attempted, and certainly I know that people have perhaps tried it here in the U.S. as well, they've only looked in operating rooms where patients don't necessarily have a cardiac arrest, and it's very rare for it to happen there. When we looked in our study, we had 10% of people who had a near-death experience, but nobody claimed to have had an out-of-body experience. And the reason was that we followed everybody over a one-year period in our hospital who had a cardiac arrest. But 65 people in that 1 year survived. And so statistically, perhaps we should have had one person to have claimed, who would have claimed to have had an out-of-body experience. Mm-hmm. And that's why the only way to really test this phenomena is to do a large-scale multi-center trial where the study has the appropriate scientific power to detect whether this phenomenon really is taking place or not.
Well, then there's one other thing that I would have brought up in protest to that example that they gave, and that is that if you are on a table and you're dying, you're dead, and you float up above to the ceiling, probably the very last thing you'd be interested in would be some number or some design or anything of the sort. You're going to be probably riveted on the fact that, hey, that's me down there dying. That's where your attention is going to be.
That's a very valid point. I mean, certainly I have studied hundreds of cases of people who've had out-of-body and near-death experiences, and it's very variable. I mean, some of them will tell you that they were watching themselves, but also they were watching things around the room, and they were just mm-hmm. really intrigued as to what was happening. That was such an unusual phenomenon for them to be up there at the ceiling looking down that they were looking around, and some of them were only looking at themselves. And some of them will tell you that, actually, I just went straight through the ceiling. I didn't even, you know, I had a glance, and then I went.
Mm.
So that's why, really, in order for this to work, we would have to look at, you know, over 1,000, maybe 1,500 cardiac arrest survivors, and then to try and see really what people describe and see if they can identify these hidden images and targets.
Doctor, there have been, I think, claims that some scientists or doctors have made that they were able to electrically stimulate some part of the brain and cause an NDE. Is there anything to that?
There is some element of accuracy with this. There was a paper published in 2002, a scientific paper published by a group of Swiss doctors. And what they were doing is they had a patient who had been suffering with intractable epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of this treatment, they tried to identify, this is done all over the world, but this happened to this group of doctors in Switzerland, where doctors will try to stimulate different parts of the brain electrically to try to identify the area of the brain that has an abnormal electrical rhythm that's causing the epilepsy and the seizures. And what they found as part of their routine workup for a particular patient is that by stimulating a specific area of the brain, the patient started to describe what sounded very much like an out-of-body experience.
Well,
it wasn't a complete one, but she felt that she was able to see at least half of her body. It's very difficult to comment beyond that because this is a single case report, and there have been other cases like this before where doctors had stimulated similar experiences. What this tells us is that certainly there are areas of the brain that mediate the experiences. So, for example, if you imagine if I were to go out into the street and for example, a car hits me or I have a heart attack or I have very severe meningitis, something that then causes me to come close to death and then eventually die, the changes, the physiological or biological changes that take place in my body will stimulate certain parts of the brain and they will lead to an experience. However, what that doesn't tell us is whether the experience is real or not. It just simply tells us that specific parts of the brain are involved with it. Now, if we then go back and artificially stimulate those same parts of the brain, we can induce the same experience.
Okay. So then if we're looking for proof about whether an experience is real or not, the people who rise to the top of the room and are able to see everything going on when they have absolutely nothing going on in their brain at all, when they're flatlined, those people might be the best evidence that this is a real experience. Would you agree?
So those are the only people that can be studied and objectively through scientific means currently, absolutely. I just want to just, if I may, just finish off my last point.
Yes, of course.
Because this is important, because a lot of people think that, oh, simply because we identify or we can stimulate parts of the brain and cause an experience, that means that it must be a hallucination or it must be unreal.
Right.
And that's absolutely incorrect. The reason for that is because if you think about it, if we take again a mother, when a mother sees, let's say, a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old child, that seeing of the child will induce feelings of love and compassion and all maternal feelings towards. And we can study the brain accurately and find out which parts of the brain mediate that love. What we can then do is artificially stimulate the same parts of the brain and lead to the same sensation of love.
Ah.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Oh, isn't that something? The love part of the brain.
Any part, any sensation that we have, any experience that we have.
We can identify where it is, stimulate it, and sort of reproduce it
artificially.
Wow.
So in the same way that you wouldn't say maternal love is a hallucination, in exactly the same way we cannot say, simply because we know which parts of the brain may be involved, that this experience is unreal.
Doctor, there have been, I think, claims that some scientists or doctors have made that they were able to electrically stimulate some part of the brain and cause an NDE. Is there anything to that?
There is some element of accuracy with this. There was a paper published in 2002, a scientific paper published by a group of Swiss doctors. And what they were doing is they had a patient who had been suffering with intractable epilepsy. Mm-hmm. And as part of this treatment, they tried to identify, this is done all over the world, but this happened to this group of doctors in Switzerland, where doctors will try to stimulate different parts of the brain electrically to try to identify the area of the brain that has an abnormal electrical rhythm that's causing the epilepsy and the seizures. And what they found as part of their routine workup for a particular patient is that by stimulating a specific area of the brain, the patient started to describe what sounded very much like an out-of-body experience.
Well,
it wasn't a complete one, but she felt that she was able to see at least half of her body. It's very difficult to comment beyond that because this is a single case report, and there have been other cases like this before where doctors had stimulated similar experiences. What this tells us is that certainly there are areas of the brain that mediate the experiences. So, for example, if you imagine if I were to go out into the street and for example, a car hits me or I have a heart attack or I have very severe meningitis, something that then causes me to come close to death and then eventually die.
Mm-hmm.
The changes, the physiological or biological changes that take place in my body will stimulate certain parts of the brain and they will lead to an experience. However, what that doesn't tell us is whether the experience is real or not. It just simply tells us that specific parts of the brain are involved with it. Now, if we then go back and artificially stimulate those same parts of the brain, we can induce the same experience.
Okay. So then if we're looking for proof about whether an experience is real or not, the people who rise to the top of the room and are able to see everything going on when they have absolutely nothing going on in their brain at all, when they're flatlined, those people might be the best evidence that this is a real experience. Would you agree?
So those are the only people that can be studied and objectively through scientific means currently, absolutely. I just want to just, if I may, just finish off my last point.
Yes, of course.
Because this is important, because a lot of people think that, oh, simply because we identify or we can stimulate parts of the brain and cause an experience, that means that it must be a hallucination or it must be unreal.
Right.
And that's absolutely incorrect. The reason for that is because if you think about it, if we take again a mother, when a mother sees, say, a two-year-old or a three-year-old child, that seeing of the child will induce feelings of love and compassion and all maternal feelings towards. And we can study the brain accurately and find out which parts of the brain mediate that love. What we can then do is artificially stimulate the same parts of the brain and lead to the same sensation of love.
Ah.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Oh, isn't that something? The love part of the brain.
Any part, any sensation that we have, any experience that we have.
We can identify where it is, stimulate it, and sort of reproduce it artificially. Wow.
So, in the same way that you wouldn't say maternal love is a hallucination, in exactly the same way we cannot say, simply because we know which parts of the brain may be involved, that this experience is unreal.